don't think that that is the most.
As we gather today, we have been talking about devoted. We've been talking about being devoted to God. And the questions that we've been asking are, what are we devoted to, really? And what we do with our time, our talents, our money, our mental activity, those are the things that we are truly devoted to. And really, you can only be devoted to one thing ultimately. And your devotion will either be to yourself or it will be to God. You see, all the many things that we can be consumed by, oftentimes it's really about us. So what are we devoted to? What are you devoted to? What am I devoted to? This is a question. As I told you, when I went on sabbatical and as I got away, one of the things that I realized is that I had misplaced my devotion. And I had become devoted to the church, the bride of Christ, instead of being devoted to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's so easy. You see, the church is a good thing. There's nothing bad about the church. It's so easy, though, for us to become devoted to a good thing instead of to the thing. And so I came back with a renewed desire to be devoted to God. And we then need to know what is devoted. It's single-minded. So by nature, single-minded means you can only be devoted to one thing, right? If you're single-minded, there's only one thing that can be on your mind. A serious focus on one thing. Steadfast. You stay focused on that. You stay immovable in that. You're not going anywhere. Your mind is set on that. And then we get to this idea of faithfulness, that you can rely on this person to be devoted to that thing. Their whole life exudes that. As I was reading The Divine Mentor while I was away by Wayne Cordero, he was talking about getting into the Word of God so that the words of God don't just come off our lips and they're not just in our head, but that they ooze out of every pore of our body and every pore of our being, that we are completely conformed to what God has said and what God wants for us. That we are devoted to God in that way. And so Tom has given us these definitions, and I just added giving yourself completely to or for something. And I went on record, and I want you to do the same. I want us to be a people that when people see us, they know that we are completely given over to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That everything about our life, our walk, our talk, they can say, you know, that person is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Kind of like Peter and John when they're being tried in Acts chapter 4 and they're in front of the Sanhedrin and they perceive that these were unlearned fishermen, but they knew that they had been walking with Jesus. Do people know that you're walking with Jesus? If they saw you, you know, in a grocery store, would they say, oh, there's a Christ follower? Not just because you have something on your shirt. You know, it always irritates me when someone cuts me off in traffic and then it says something about Jesus on the bumper. You know, it just, that disconnect. Or people are just, they're driving down the highway at 90 miles an hour in a 75 mile an hour zone and you see X Church on the bumper sticker as they go by. You see, we should be conformed to the image of Christ absolutely everywhere. And every action and every behavior and every part of our life should ooze Him. We should be so sold out and so devoted to Him that even the laws that we don't like and make no sense to us, like speed limits, we honor because God has called us to honor the authority that is over us. Does that make sense? That's tough. I know. I'm stepping on my own toes, so don't feel too bad. So this is what God is asking from us. I talked with you about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. when Christ bids a person come, Christ bids that person come and die. Jesus asks us to count the cost, and you know, so often I think the problem is that in the church we have neglected counting the cost. We have just said, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. That's not the way Jesus said it. And Jesus said, you come to me, you want to follow me, you have to be ready to take up your cross every day and die for me. That's a different cost. And he calls us to count that cost and to be a part of that. And see, this is what God is asking from us. God wants us to give ourselves fully to knowing and being known by him. And this is something that I want you to really get a hold of in your hearts. I want you to really be able to grab in your hearts that it's about knowing God and being known by God. It's about opening yourself up to being known by him and knowing him, really experiencing him. That's what God wants from us. And if we will do that, then he will begin to shape us and change us. Well, we are currently trying to answer this question. What does devotion to God look like, really? What does it really look like? How do I do this? How do I get there? You have to kind of put yourself in the means of grace, as Wesley would say. In answering this question, we're considering the things that the early church did, and Wesley would have called them the means of grace. And now I have to go to my notes because I don't want to be looking at the screen while I do this. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Alan, you know, if we want people to know, we have to demonstrate. We have to demonstrate the love of God. We have to demonstrate that family connection of God. We have to live it day by day. And as we live it day by day, as we're devoted to it day by day, then God is able to add to our number. He's able to increase his kingdom. But so often I think people are held away from the church and held away from the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and ultimately God the Father, because we're not devoted to God and we're not making it visible in our everyday life. We come to church and we call that good, instead of giving ourselves over to him so that every fiber of our being is oriented toward him. Well, Wesley called the things that are described in Acts means of grace. Others have called them spiritual disciplines. Means of grace and spiritual disciplines. Putting yourself in a place where God can speak to you. Putting yourself in a place where God can form you. Putting yourself in a place where you are open to God. That's what this is all about. Oh, dear. And as I say this, how many of you are hearing me say that I want you to earn your salvation? Hopefully none of you. Because that's not what it's about. It's not salvation by works. We cannot save ourselves. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Yeshua. Yahweh saves. It's all about God. It's not about us. It's about his work. But there are places that God has promised that he would be. There are places that God has promised He would meet us if we do them. There are places that where when we go there, we are approaching the very throne of grace and we are touching the hem of the robe of our Lord and Savior to be transformed and changed. And those are the kinds of things that we want to practice, because in John 6:63, a very difficult passage, if you read the entire chapter, Jesus was saying some really hard things to the people, but in this verse he says, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh is no help at all. Wow, that is powerful. Those are the words of Jesus. I even put them in red. I don't know if you can tell that's red, but I even put them in red because they're the words of Jesus. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, Jesus said. So if you want to have life and if you want the Spirit to give you life, you have to approach the words of God. And therefore, it is the Spirit that makes the journey possible. In this, we can't do it on our own, but it is therefore our goal. I'm clicking. Every person that attends New Life Community Church of the Nazarene to be reading the Bible every day with the intention of hearing the voice of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Every person that attends the church to be reading the Word of God every day with the intention of hearing the voice of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want you to realize is this is not a Bible reading plan. This is not read the Bible through in a year. This is not checking the boxes and saying, yeah, I got that done today. You remember my priority list that I started with a couple of weeks ago when we're making our devotion to God and we're having a wholehearted orientation to God. I didn't want you to put God at the top of the list. I don't want you to put your Bible reading thing at the top of the list and say, okay, I got that done today, and then go through the rest of the day having completely forgotten what you did at the first part of the day. That is, in all honesty, a complete waste of time. Okay? What I want you to do is I want you to go to the Word actually believing that God, the creator and sustainer of all things, will meet you there. That He will speak to you through His Word as He has promised to do. That's what I'm wanting you to get to. That's what I'm hoping that you will do. So once again, it's not a Bible reading program per se. Yes, I have a Bible reading plan. But that's just so that we all together are on the same page together, so that when we start talking together, guess what's coming out of us? The words of God in a shared community where I'm speaking about things that God is speaking to me from texts that you all have been reading as well, so that together our conversation gets amplified into the throne of grace and the place of God. And that happened in our Sunday school room this morning. In our Sunday school class this morning, there were several of us there that had been reading the same things. And as we were then hearing from God in another passage of Scripture, we were making connections to what we had been reading this week. And it just kind of amplified. And it took off. Imagine if every single one of us was reading from the Word of God and hearing the voice of God every day, and we were in the same passage. You don't have to, but I'm asking you to. You don't have to follow my reading plan. I said that last week, you know. You don't have to. I would love for you to, because I think there's a synergy that can happen. You know what a synergy is? That when the sum of the parts is greater than the sum of the individual things, where when you add it all together, it becomes bigger than just the 1 + 1 + 1. It becomes God's multiplication. And see, when we're all in the same passage together, then God is speaking to all of us, and as we begin to talk to each other, we'll be flavored with that. And as Gaylene said, she was able to go into the hospital room, and God was able to speak to Dolores out of something that He had shared with her that day. And, you know, as we come into a room and someone else has shared, and, you know, God, I heard that too, but this is what God said to me. And we can begin to do that. You see, this isn't just getting through the Bible. And it's not even getting God's word through you, which is what I normally would say, although it is. It's opening our hearts to God and making ourselves available to Him, sitting down absolutely expectantly believing that God is going to speak to you. Well, how do you do this? Five things that you ought to have with you when you read. And there are five things you ought to have. Boop, there they are. I have forgotten one of them every time I've said this list, so there's the list. Your Bible. Now, I don't care if it's audio. I don't care if it's digital. I don't care if it's, you know, old school. You know? I don't care if it's New International, New American Standard, New Revised Standard, English Standard. God's Word. A translation of God's Word into modern English, because that's what we speak. Or Spanish for our dear brothers and sisters who speak Spanish. Something that is your heart language. Something that you can read and understand. Something that will speak to you. People always ask me, what version should I be reading? The one you have. Get it off the shelf and read it, for crying out loud. You know? Just read it. If you need a Bible, come to us. We'll provide you with a Bible. A journal. A journal. How many of you think, you know, leather bound and ribbons and all that? This is a journal. It's a compilation of paper with blank pages and lines so that you can write on it. Okay, we're providing these to you as well. It doesn't have to be fancy. Now, I showed you last week and I forgot to bring it out this week. You can get the fancy ones that are smaller, that, you know, are a half page kind of a thing, and that has all the stuff printed on it, and all the reading plans that way, and has the little daily things that you feel. You can get one of these if you want to. I'm not buying those for you. If you want those, they're available online. And I gave you, the resources are listed in the materials that I have for you. If you want one of those, you can get it. But a journal, just something to write on. Something that you can write your thoughts down on. Now, I'll be talking more about that. Whoops. Pen or pencil, because you need to be able to write, whatever you prefer. Your reading plan. Here's where we might run into a little problem. Some of you are already reading, and you already have your own reading plan, and that's fine. If that's what you have, I'm not telling you you cannot do that. Some of you are in November, you've been reading since January to read through the Bible in a year. I don't want to derail you. This is not about, you know, making an obstacle course. But if we're all in the same page together, and I've provided reading plans that we would all be on the same page together, there's a children's level, it has the least amount of reading, there's an express, it has a next level of reading, and then there's the daily. It's available. You need that. You need a calendar or a notebook. Why do you need a calendar or a notebook? Because when Satan distracts you with something, write it down and let it go. Okay? Just write it down and let it go so that you can get back to hearing the voice of the Lord. You need to choose a time and place. I'm going to start speaking a lot faster, and I'm going to start clicking through this a lot quicker because I want to get to something really important. Choose a time and place. If you're a morning person, meet with God in the morning. If you're an evening person, meet with God in the evening. Whenever and whatever your best time is, whenever and whatever you can give your best self to God, give it to Him. Give Him that time. Make yourself known to Him. Pray. This is hugely important. Make yourself available to God and ask Him to open Himself up to you. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is not our work. This is His work. And so we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us. But we need to pray and we need to ask Him, Lord, here I am. I give all of myself to You this morning. Would You make Yourself known to me today? Would You speak to me? Tell me what I need today. You know what my day has. I don't. Speak to me. Okay? Read reflectively. This again. You're not reading to get through the passages for the day. You're reading in order to hear God's heart for you this day. Make notes in your Bible or journal of passages that jump out to you. Here's my illustration of this. Some of you have seen it. I've read where there's like a highlighter on the page where everything goes dark around it. You've seen it in the movies, you know, where they want you to see certain lines and so you can see all that. I was driving to a meeting that was going to be deciding the future of a church, and I was praying for wisdom from God on whether what I was supposed to say. And I listened to Casting Crowns. I have a playlist. I've been listening to it for years, so I know absolutely that I had heard this song, Spirit Wind, before. But on the drive, it was like when that song came on, everything else disappeared. In fact, it was so much that way that I had to pull off the road because I didn't want to endanger everybody else. I pulled off the road into a parking lot, and that song spoke to me, and I opened up my Bible that I had, and I read Ezekiel 37, and I was able to go to that meeting and say with absolute certainty, this church has a hope and a future. God has spoken to me, and I know He wants the doors of this church open. The only question is whether or not you're going to stay and do it. So God speaks that way. He'll do it as you read your Bible. You have your journal. Why do I need to write this down? Well, God gave instructions to the kings of Israel to write their own copy of the Bible, so that might be one thing. Write it down. Here's something for you. It seems that writing anything down makes us remember it better. On the other hand, not writing things down is just asking to forget. I mean, if God's speaking, don't you think you might want to take notes? The architect of the universe is taking time to speak to you. The one who knit you together in your mother's womb. If he says something, don't you think you might want to write it down and remember it? I would hope so. So write it down. You're going to write down your scripture. You're going to write down your observation. You're going to write down your application. You're going to pray. You're going to write down your prayer at the end. Because that verse says that I have already washed you with my word. The word is washing and the little acrostic there is soap. So just remember soap. You're going to apply soap to the scripture. You're going to write the scripture down. You're going to write an observation. You're going to write an application. You're going to write a prayer. Now, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. I'll talk about the title in a minute. But in Mark chapter 14, this happens to be part of the express reading for today. Mark 14, 12. And on the first day, if I was going to do this and I was in my devotion, I'd say, Lord, help us to hear your word. Father, today we're here. We need to hear your voice. Would you speak to us? Would you make your heart known to me, to my heart? Would you make your heart known to us today? Speak to us. Make these words living and active in my life, in our lives. That you might be glorified through us. In Jesus' name, amen. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room finished and ready. There, prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Are you hearing anything? is your radar getting a ding? Is the Holy Spirit speaking? And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day, when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, see, hymns are old. They've been around a long time. They went to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. Are you hearing the voice of God? Is he speaking to your heart? And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will." And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Father, allow these words to sink deep into our heart. I believe you've probably spoken something to each one of us. Help us to capture that. Help us to hold on to it. Help us to make it a part of our life, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. So I did this morning, and I wrote mine down for you as an example. So the scripture that I grabbed was Mark 14:38. It's not the only thing God said to me, but it was the thing that I really felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me about specifically. And so I wrote it down. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. My observation. Peter has been faithfully following and serving Jesus, but he does not know what is coming. Jesus does. So Jesus gives an exhortation, watch and pray. He assumes or knows Peter has a good heart, but that he is about to face more than he will be able to handle. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Application. I have a heart for Jesus, but like Peter, I don't know what the future holds. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus, watch, and pray, asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen me for whatever lies ahead. And then my prayer, Father, Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. By the guiding, empowering presence of your Holy Spirit, help me to watch and continue in prayer so that I might not succumb to temptation. Amen. That's just an example. It can be shorter. It can be longer. And I just have a question for you today. Did God speak to you today as I read those words? They were His words, not mine. Did God say something to you? Would you be interested in sharing what God said to you? Anyone bold enough? Did you hear the voice of the Lord today? The other. Yet not what I will, but you will.
I just feel like I need to surrender more, and that God is wanting me to trust Him with my life, my future, my mind, and not be thinking of what I want, but rather, what is it you want, God?
Yeah.
What is it, help me to live into that, what you want.
Yeah. What is it that God wants? Not my will, but yours. Does anybody else have something that they heard that they would be willing to share? Bob.
Well, I love it when he gave communion to everybody, even Judas. And he said, I won't be doing it again until I see you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's always touched my heart, thinking we're going to get to have communion served to us by Jesus.
Yeah. We have communion served by Jesus, but he gave it even to his betrayer. Yeah. He had fellowship with his betrayer. What about us? See, how is God speaking to our hearts in this?
Mine came from verse 30. It says, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, today, yesterday, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. We can't be too sure of ourselves, for it is the Holy Spirit that keeps us in the grasp of God's hand. Yeah. And when we start looking at ourselves as being important, that is when we will fall into temptation. We must keep a hold of God's hand.
Amen. Not by might nor by strength, but by the Lord. It's the Spirit of God. Anybody else want to share briefly if God spoke to you? David.
Mine was similar. 29, sorry. Even if all fall away, I will not. And I'm in a period of starting over again.
Yeah.
And it's very humbling. And that's what I thought many, many, many years ago when I first started following Christ, and so it's just reminding me that it's daily battle.
A daily battle. Watch and pray every day.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry? Was he going to say more? Were you going to say more, David?
I mean, just to fight against the pride in us.
Yeah.
It's always there. That's all.
Yeah. Amen. And we need God to deal with that. Thank you, David. And I am, as I go back here, I'm trying to remember my brother's name. He introduced me himself to me last week, and I have forgotten. Jim.
Yeah.
Jim.
13, where basically if he says it, you can believe it. Right? He sent them into town, told them exactly what was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
If he says it, you can believe it.
If he says it, you can believe it. That was one of the ones that God spoke to me about as well. It's not the one he had me write down, but it's the one he spoke to me, one of the ones he spoke to me. If he said it, you can take it to the bank. You can cash it. So this is the process. Now, what if we were doing this, each one of us, every day? And what if when we came together then, we were orienting our conversation around things that God had been saying to us? You see, the next thing is koinonia, fellowship in the devotion. And when we come together, we're supposed to be sharing together. I'll talk more about that next week. Here's the last step. You give it a title. So my title was Watch and Pray. And you do that to kind of cement it. I can look at that Watch and Pray, and I know exactly what I wrote to myself. And you can record that in a table of contents. And so that's the title. But here's the last thing. The last thing to grab a hold of. Give thanks. Give thanks. The God who created the universe has just taken time to meet with you. Wow! Almighty God has taken time to meet with us. And He'll do that every single time we come apart into His presence. He's not stingy, and He doesn't have to watch the clock. He is faithful. So let's do it. I have the different reading plans up here, and I have journals for you up here. And I would invite you again after the service to come up. The boxes say Express Reading Schedule, Classic Reading Schedule, and Children Life Journal. So you can start wherever. I don't care how much you're reading. I really don't. I just want you every single day to devote yourself to God by putting yourself in a place where you would hear His voice and expect that He will. That's what matters. I'm going to pray as the worship team comes up. Father, help us. Help us to be devoted to You, to orient our life, everything around You. Lord, help us to believe that You want to speak to us and that You have given us a tremendous resource to hear Your voice. You've given us Your Word. The written Word, You've given us Your Word, Jesus, Yeshua, who gave His life for us. You've given us Your Spirit to dwell within us. Lord, help us to sit at Your feet, to be more like Mary and less like Martha, to be consumed with You, instead of being consumed with what needs to be done. Give us ears to hear and a heart that is responsive, that we might glorify You in all that we do and say. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. You are blessed by the presence and the power of God to go in His name, expecting to hear His voice as you enter into His Word. May God speak to you clearly, and may you follow obediently. God bless you as you go.